Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. March is almost upon us, and that means Bisexual Health Awareness Month again, a huge success last year. It was one of our top podcasts and still is. I have personally received very positive feedback from individuals, too. 2015 promises to be just as effective. And to discuss it, we have Julia Canfield, the new director of Bisexual Resource Center. Welcome, Julia.
Oh, thank you, Lynette. Thank you so much for having me.
And congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations
from Ellen.
Yeah, congratulations to Ellen for finally being able to step down and having someone take over. I think it's great that she can do other things now.
Actually, we haven't gotten rid of her just yet. She is actually now our board treasurer and our board emeritus. So she's still very, very active in the community, and I don't know what we would do without her. So we're very happy that she's around.
I'm sure. I mean, it's better to be emeritus and not have to do the day-to-day stuff and just be called when somebody doesn't know what's going on or like needs some suggestions.
Yeah, I definitely email her quite a bit to ask her questions and things like that, and she's so very helpful. So I'm indebted to her for the support and also the support of our board too, because they're just such a terrific group of people we have in Boston. So I'm very fortunate to have a really supportive organization behind me.
You interned for 2 years?
Yes,
you interned with the BRC for 2 years. So it's not just a job you jump into, that's for sure, huh?
I was an intern for, well over a year. And then I joined the board as a board member in, I believe it was in June. And then in December and January is when I took over the board presidentship. So it's definitely been quite the journey, but it's been a really wonderful experience.
Let's start talking about Bi Health Month.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll say that BRC has always been a resource nationally for the bisexual community. I remember we used to buy resource guides all the time to know what was going on in the bi community before there was an internet. I understand that the theme this year is bisexual mental health. Could you talk a little bit about this year's theme?
It is indeed mental health. It was actually one of our themes last year. And what we did last year was we had four different sort of health topics. And they were mental health, sexual health, nutrition and physical activity, and sexual violence and intimate partner violence. Mental health was sort of one of our more popular weeks that month. And I think it's really due to sort of the long-standing issues in the bi community with biphobia and bisexual erasure, our high rates of depression and suicide attempts, and our anxiety and mood disorders. And so it's really a common and very much shared experience in the bi community, just looking at our statistics. And so when we were coming into this year, mental health was definitely on our top list of potential themes for the year. And it just became very quickly apparent that was sort of a theme and a topic that we should focus on this year. So we ultimately decided on mental health for those reasons.
I very much agree with that.
Yeah, I think in the activist community, in the support community, we're always finding that our biggest challenge is trying to find resources to help people with their mental health. And there's lots of reasons for it. And it also goes to the fact that so many of our other health issues come down to mental health, substance abuse, or even to an extent, domestic violence comes down to our mental health. And, you know, if we have more resources and more support in helping our own mental health, then we can actually fix a lot of our other problems.
Absolutely. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that too, John, because we definitely do have a focus in the campaign too on other issues sort of tied into mental health, like the fact that you mentioned with substance abuse and sexual violence and intimate partner violence and the lack of support that we receive, all of these things really tie into that, which I think makes it even more pressing that we need those support and those resources and things that we can do to take action against that so that we can start to decrease a lot of these disparities, I think is really, really critical for our community as a whole.
So speaking on that, then do you plan on doing a different focus each week on probably, you know, like PTSD, coping with, one of the things that interests me, of course, because I do this all the time, is that we, being an activist, really it feels very solitary sometimes. I was hoping that, you know, we could try to build some kind of real strong support group for us, because heck, it's really hard sometimes just to open the pages up every day.
Yeah, I certainly have experienced very much the same, especially too, since a lot of us work full time in other jobs. And I believe you too, Lynette, do as well. I think we were talking about this at Creating Change, about just trying to balance everything on top of working full time and then doing this sometimes full time itself as well. It is really difficult, and I don't think that in terms of activism in general, and especially with bi activists who have to deal with a lot of stuff in terms of the biphobia, the bi erasure, trying to get a seat at the table, I think that that causes a great deal of stress and distress for us, and I don't think that there's a lot of support in general and a lot of self-care that goes into that too. So it's definitely a lot of work. I know for myself, I try to take care of myself as best as I can. Because again, yeah, it is really exhausting to respond to emails sometimes and, you know, fight the good fight. But I think that having a good, and I think actually too, this is a really good strength of our community, is that in the bi community, we have a lot of support for one another. Because I think, again, we have a lot of those shared experiences. And so whether or not we have a community in our hometown or online, I think it's really great that we have a space with each other where we've dealt with a lot of things. And we can kind of come together and seek support from each other as well.
Yeah, and we hope that we're building that just for everyone, not just the activists.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's got to be even harder to feel, you know, you have no outlet, especially if you have to be in the closet or anything like that. That's even more isolated. So, yeah.
Are you
planning on different focuses each week or?
Yes, we are. As I mentioned, we did you know, different health topics last year, but because we went with one topic this year, we decided to do different focus weeks to kind of give the issue a lot more depth and a lot more resources and just focusing on all these different angles that goes into this issue. And so what we've done is we've set up four different focus weeks. The first week of March is going to focus on statistics. So a lot of the sort of current statistics and research that are currently available. So it's a lot of the stats. And then the second week is going to be on intersectionality. And we really want to give more of a face to these issues and bring out more personal stories, lived experiences, particularly with an emphasis on issues of racism and ageism and classism and ableism and other things that really impact us in terms of mental health disparities in the bi community, particularly in regards to oppression and discrimination, because we do see that a lot as well in terms of people's sort of shared experiences can often be further compounded by other issues surrounding like race and gender and all these different things as well. So we really want to give a focus on how the bi community really experiences this from various different lenses. And then the third week is on resources. And so we really want to have a spotlight and talk about current resources in the bi community that can help the bi individuals and the bi community as large with mental health disparities. you know, pushing for the creation of new ones. We really lack a lot of bi-specific resources, and so that's an area that really needs to be expanded upon and improved. And then finally, the last week is action, and so it's promoting interventions and policies and programming, bi-cultural competency programs, things like that that can really work to support bi individuals much better. So those are sort of our 4 focus weeks throughout the month.
Oh, great! I'm glad that you're including class in it and gender. I think those are things that sometimes we don't focus enough on. And I know in my own support community, we don't have a lot of diversity in non-binary gender people anymore. And it used to be that the bi community was more open, or non-binary people felt that the bi community was open enough. So by including gender and non-binary people, we're lending another hand out to say, hey, we're not what you think we are, and you know, join us. You need us as much as we need you. You talked a little bit about the first week is going to talk about statistics and studies and such. What do we have new this year that you found that you're going to put up and focus on in terms of statistics, studies, et cetera, et cetera? Because, you know, we know, like, I'll tell you, I looked at suicide rates in the bisexual community, and what I could find just doing some internet searching was really lacking in breaking out bisexual men from gay men in a lot of these studies. Pretty much have to do a meta analysis of these studies to try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, that's been a long-standing issue, and because, as you said, it traditionally in health research, gay men and bisexual men and lesbian women and bisexual women have all been sort of grouped together. So it is really hard to find data. And I would say, too, that you really have to dig for it. And sometimes there have been studies where they've found sort of data, but they haven't really reported on it, or they've just kind of grouped it all together again, which is very frustrating, because I think, especially over the past few years, there's been this really great trend in it. And I think that we have a lot more to go with it. But I would say over the past few years, more and more research is starting to break down the LGBT, and so that we are starting to see a little bit more sort of larger scale studies and specific studies done looking at bisexual individuals. And I think that's where I think in the next few years we'll see more of that. I do know, too, that the Institute of Medicine a few years back did a report on LGBT populations, in addition to recommending that transgender populations be better studied. They also recommended that bisexual individuals are also better studied. So I'm really hopeful that in that regard, we'll start to get more data. Unfortunately, once we get this data, we start to see how sort of severe our disparities end up being. But I do think in the next few years, we'll start seeing a lot more research on that issue in particular.
Yeah, like the 2020 study is a good start, but there's still a lot more needed. You know, I think especially there are some good things, you know, in terms of breaking out by women. Like I see so many studies that use the term MSM, and that's like a total misnomer, because a lot of times it includes both trans women and trans men in these studies. And so they have no clue where the break, you know, with no breakouts, where their stats are.
And I agree. And I know, too, that we're starting to see a little bit more of, I believe it's men who have sex with men and women, or women who have sex with women and men. We're seeing a little bit more of that designation, too. And I see that, too, a lot more. And, like, usually when it's regards to, like, behavioral sort of research with, like, sexual health, safer sex and sex health or sexual health research is usually where that pops up a little bit more. But I do think that we definitely need to be doing more work on boosting bi visibility and trans visibility in health research too, because I think in terms of a lot of the reasons why our health disparities, we're not also really knowing why they're occurring. I mean, we know why. I mean, as in our community, we know why. But I think we do need stronger data to sort of indicate, like, for example, the reasons why our you know, sexual violence rates are so high. I mean, I have quite a bit of, you know, sort of estimates or guesses as to why. But we definitely, I think, need to have a little bit more in-depth research to show why these things are also occurring to the extent that they are and in what ways. And I'm really hopeful that in the next few years, we'll start to get a little bit more of what you were kind of discussing, John, in addition to, I think, just widespread across the board. We just need more data.
You know, and it goes back to, like, we had Brian Dodge on in the fall talking about the bias study and how bisexuals don't feel comfortable in LG spaces a lot. And so we don't access the resources that are not only available, but have been paid for us because of biphobia and fear of those spaces and just not being welcome in those spaces. And so having data to show that we are accessing these resources and to figure out ways that we can have access to these resources will help our health tremendously.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. And we are starting to see, actually, too, as Brian Dodge mentioned as well, there was also a study by Wendy Bostwick who did some focus groups on microaggressions and by women. Mm-hmm. And I believe one of the things that were popping up a lot was that sort of exclusion and biphobia from LGBT spaces as well.
I definitely think
it's a huge, it's a huge barrier. It really is. And when you're told that as a bisexual person that, oh, you're part of this LGBT community and we're supposed to be here for you. And then when these, you know, and I've experienced this myself as well. When you go to access those services, you're quite directly turned away. They make it very clear to you that you're not welcome.
Yes. Not unless you say you're something you're not. So, well, that's another story anyway. this is kind of a silly question, but what would you like the outcome to be from this campaign this year?
I don't think it's a silly question at all. I think ultimately it's just about building the awareness about these issues and these gaps in mental health services and mental health disparities and what's really needed to address them. And I think it would be really great for us if we could go more in depth regarding the extent of these disparities, talking about the reasons why they're happening, some of the reasons why they may be happening or may not be happening. Because I think we're building a lot of really great, as I mentioned, we have a long way to go, but we are starting to kind of connect the dots loosely with issues of biphobia and bi erasure and sexual violence and depression and our low coming out rates. I think that we're painting a very clear picture of what the issues are affecting the bi community. And so I think one part of that is just really building awareness about that. I would also say, too, that I would love for, you know, the campaign to boost resources available, the levels of action needed to address them. And I think ultimately, if I can just sort of, in the campaign itself, I think it would be great if, you know, one person can sort of take away one thing from the campaign in terms of, you know, making change in their own community, whether that's a school teacher who sees the bi youth piece and says, you know what, actually, I think, you know, bi competency is really lacking for bi youth. And what can I bring back to my school so that bi youth feel better supported? Whether it's a mental health professional and the way that they treat bi clients better, you know, what can they take from Bisexual Health Awareness Month that can better sort of support their clients? And also too, just LGBT centers and organizations, because I think they really are on the front line for a lot of bi individuals in their community. What can we do to make our services more bi inclusive? and by aware and by competent. So I think for me, and I think as the BRC as a whole, we really want to make sure that the campaign is building awareness and spreading resources and providing support, but also to trying to encourage, you know, change in this way. You know, community to community, state by state, person by person. That's really, I think, the most important thing for us.
Well, yeah. Those are great, great goals. We totally support that and hope we can help with that.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, one of the real great pieces that came out of last year was the resource part of the BRC and having those health resources out there and shareable. One of the first things I did in the beginning of April was to tell our ED at DC Center that they exist, to make sure that they're up on the website, and they were quickly put up. And so this year, you know, I'll do it again and say, hey, we need to make sure that the mental health resources are up here and make it. And it's really a one-stop shop for community centers when they have those resources on their website. When somebody calls in, they can quickly say, here it is. Here's the URL. Mm-hmm. Here's the page. And it's, and you know, even now I go back that page and go through the resources that are available when I'm doing research and when I'm asked for help. So, you know, I see that as a real, real, great thing that you're doing for the entire bisexual community, is to like gather all these resources that for years we had to like just kind of keep in our, you know, browser bookmarks and whatnot. Now they're up there for everybody to see and everybody to use.
But it's really important because a lot of people, especially if they haven't been part of the community, don't even know what to look for. So here you can give them this one place, one link, and they can find it instead of trying to Google something or whatever, and not, you know, not even know what tags to be even using. It's great. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Julia?
I guess I would say that, you know, we started a new website this year that just launched today. It's bihealthmonth.wordpress.com. So if people want to go onto the website, we'll be updating it throughout the month of all of our materials, and you can keep updated through the campaign that way. And you can also connect with us through that website on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, find out how to spread the word about the campaign, how you can get involved. So I would say that, you know, I really encourage people to check it out and to share it with others in their organization or, you know, friends, family, whoever they feel like can use it the most. So that I sort of would be the only thing that I can really think of. And thank you so much for the both of you to having me on. I really appreciate it. It's really great work that you do.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I just want to mention, of course, you do have the hashtag #BiHealthMonth for Twitter. So we just want to give that a mention there. Thank you very much.
Well,
I'll say all links will be provided on the website, and I would recommend that you guys make sure that you link the WordPress page to the main site so that we can send people to the BRC directly.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I will. I'll send that to Lynette.
All righty. I just want to remind everybody, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Thank you so much, Julia. It's been a great pleasure.
Yes, thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Lynette. Thank you, John. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, bye.
Later.
Bye. Bye.
Take care.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.
This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.